Chrysler Day 2.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Since Chrysler laid out its turnaround plan yesterday, the media has been having a field day about what's next. This morning, there are reports that GM and Chrysler have been talking about an alliance to share costs. A German newspaper says the two companies are even talking about GM buying Chrysler. I wouldn't bite on any of this just yet. There will be some pain at Chrysler, though. We know that. It is cutting 13,000 jobs. Since May of 2005, the auto industry has eliminated or talked about getting rid of 132,000 jobs. Congress may soon make it illegal for companies to fire you because of your jeans. And I'm not talking about denim pants. We're talking about jeans that cause health problems. Eric Kneeler has more from Washington.
Many states already ban employers and insurers from collecting genetic information and using it in business decisions. For the past 12 years, the Republican-controlled House blocked a wider federal ban. But yesterday, the proposal passed an important committee vote. New York Democrat Louise Slaughter says people need protection from this kind of genetic bias.
The worst part of it is so discriminatory. Now, we know it's taking place. We've got numerous instances where people lost their job because somebody in their family or maybe they had a gene that scared people to death.
Slaughter says some folks fear taking part in clinical trials because they worry their genetic data will be released and used against them. Business groups oppose the bill. They say claims of discrimination are overblown. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke was on Capitol Hill yesterday. He gave Congress the Fed's semi-annual report. And boy, did it make Wall Street feel better. Bernanke said the economy is sound and inflation is slip-sliding away. That means interest rates are probably staying put for a while. So the Dow put on 87 points to a new record close of 12,741. The Nasdaq gained 28 to 2488. The S&P 500 added 11 points to 1455. Wall Street's rally gave Asian stocks a boost today. Japan's Nikkei is barreling toward a 7-year high. Starbucks is reaching out to coffee farmers in Ethiopia. Our correspondent Stephen Beard is working on this story. Stephen, what did Starbucks announce today?
Starbucks has unveiled a whole package of measures which they say is going to help East African farmers and in particular Ethiopian farmers. First of all, they're going to double the amount of coffee they buy from the region. They're going to increase to $35 million the amount of money they're going to spend buying East African coffee over the next 2 years. In addition, they're going to provide affordable credit. They're setting up a farmer support center, and they're going to help humanitarian organizations promoting things like adult literacy in the region.
I'm having a little bit of deja vu here, Stephen. It seems that we talked about this a couple weeks ago in terms of groups putting pressure on Starbucks to change its policies concerning coffee in East Africa. Isn't that right?
That's right. Starbucks has come under a lot of pressure. There's been that documentary, you remember, called Black Gold, about the plight of East African coffee producers. There have been street demonstrations outside Starbucks coffee shops here in the UK. Farmers in Ethiopia say they get only $1.60 a pound for their coffee. That's roughly 1% of the price that coffee shop customers are paying.
But this is mostly about buying more coffee as opposed to the price.
That's right. I mean, what Starbucks is saying is we do care about these farmers. That's why we're putting this effort into humanitarian organizations and setting up this farmer support group. We're also trying to help Ethiopian farmers to improve the quality of the beans they grow. That, they say, is the best way for them to get a better price.
Hmm. Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
That's our correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Something's been bothering me about yesterday's program. I was talking to Stephen about the shutdown of a Burberry plant in South Wales. I was trying to ask him why there was so much outrage over those 300 jobs, with celebrities joining in, protests as far away as Las Vegas, as opposed to, say, the tens of thousands of jobs we've heard about in the auto industry. But I think the question came out as, what's the big deal? It's just 300 jobs. That's not what I meant. Obviously, there's a story and a person behind every one of those jobs, and they matter.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriventbuilds.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
A Middle Eastern doll makes its debut in the U.S. this week. Her name is Fulla. She's 11 inches tall, just like Barbie. But that's about the only thing those two have in common. Simone Orendine reports from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Fulla is slender with flowing brown hair. Her outfits are stylish but never show more than a little bit of shin. She also comes in the traditional Muslim dress, which covers her from head to foot. Charlotte-based toy distributor Basil Kanawati introduced the doll at the toy fair.
The difference between Fulla and Barbie is the message that Fulla has. What Fulla is stressing is the values that little girls should have.
She's marketed as a young, studious girl, obedient to her parents, into sports, and not at all conscious of what boys think. Kanawati says at the fair he heard constantly that parents are looking for toys with substance. He's working to get Fulla on major retailer shelves by spring. In Charlotte, I'm Simone Orendine for Marketplace.
Here's a number that might jolt you awake. It concerns computer servers and how much electricity they use. A study out today says between 2000 and 2005, the power load for servers nearly doubled to 45 million kilowatt hours of energy. That's more than the state of Mississippi uses. The Lawrence Berkeley National Lab did the study. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.